Hallelujah. You know, just as I start this message, I was sharing for those that were here on Friday night, Pastor Judy shared a thought that immediately made me think of some other things. And, you know, if you guys want to dump this out of this, just some thoughts, you know, you can cut it out because, I mean, you can put it in or out. It doesn't matter. You choose. But Pastor Judy made a statement, and I believe I should share this because it'll, well, you know what? Leave it in. Sorry about that. You all leave it in. Good. Thumbs up. All right. Good. Because it'll all dovetail with what we're sharing today. But she made a point as she was sharing. She said, God spoke to me to come here for a time. And this is what she said. She said, if I hadn't obeyed, he would have sent somebody else. And immediately, I thought about statements that were made by the Utterbox at the beginning of this ministry and said, God said to us, meaning Pastor Sarah and Clinton, you weren't my first choice, but others didn't obey and listen to my promptings, and you did. So I raised you up for this work. But if they hadn't obeyed, he'd have raised somebody else up. He would have called on somebody else. And that's the same for you or I. He'll knock and he'll say, you know, so-and-so, I want you to do this. I got something to do. Okay. He may come around again. He may come around again. He may keep coming around. But he may only come around once because something needs, you know how a train goes by and it's got a destination, it's got to get somewhere. He may go by once and knock on your door and say, okay, I need you. And I'm busy. And it's got to go because time is now. It's got to go. And we need to be sensitive to the promptings of God so that when he knocks, we move. Amen. And we're not, you know, I'm busy with life. I got stuff going on. He knows that. He knows that. But I believe in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. See, that's what the Utterbox did. That's what Pastor Sarah and Clinton did. They had stuff going on. They had jobs, but they quit their jobs. See, they'd been with their corporations. Pastor Sarah worked with IBM. Pastor Clinton worked with the U.S. Postal Department, had been there for a number of years. But they quit because they sensed, we need to go. We need to go. And they went. And out of that obedience to go, God began to use them. See, we all want to be used, but a lot of times we don't want to let go. I got a job. What do you, come on now, he knows you got a job. We're talking about the creator of the universe. He knows you got a life and stuff going on. Don't you think God would be smart enough to know that if you had a family of children and he said go, that he would know what's involved? I would think he would. So if he asked you to go, why are you going to the creator of heaven and earth and tell him, hey, and you know, I'm busy. I got stuff going on. And we sometimes miss it. So I share all of that to say that, you know, even where life is concerned, we need to just be sensitive because we're in a season. We're, you know, the latter days began after the day, you know, Pentecost And then that was, we're in the latter days. But we're really in the latter of the latter days. We're at the end. And things are happening at such a pace that God is, I need you now. I need you to unhook. And so God is preparing, and especially a church. See, this is why I believe he raised up this church. It's a God-ordained thing. So that's why when Pastor Judy said, well, if I hadn't come, somebody else would have. And I think about all the opportunities that I had to quit along the way. Everybody who started in a race goes, I'm tired. I hurt. I got a cramp. You know, I remember one year this is many years ago when I was young, I decided to take senior life saving. So I took that, and then I began over the summertime, I wanted to endeavor do long distance swimming. So I started swimming, and I started swimming a mile at a time. Did it in a pool, and I'd do however many laps. And every day I'd do a mile. I'd swim, I forget how many, you know, it was 30, 40, 50 laps, whatever it was. And I would do a mile every day, and I did it for a period of months. But then one day I said, I'm going to keep going. I did 5 miles, and I swam for about 3 or 4 hours, nonstop, just kept going. See, so you can develop yourself, you see, but during that swim, let me tell you, I got tired, cramp in the leg, and I'd have to quick just knead it out, and so forth. But we all have opportunities to quit. Amen. And there were many times I had opportunities and desires to quit along this path, even here. It's like, I've had enough. I'm out of here. But I remember what God spoke to me. And I said, no, I can't quit. I can't. And so if I had quit, or Pastor Carr, because we have similar and had similar opportunities, and if either one of us had quit, he'd have just raised up somebody else. Because he had something in mind before he selected Pastor Sarah Clinton. He was going to raise this ministry up. He's going to raise it up and use whoever was obedient, whoever was willing to answer the call and go. And that's really what it is. We're in a season, we're in these seasons where it's about when God knocks, you got to go. You don't know how, you don't know where, you know, but you got to answer the call. So I say all of that, you know, because they pique some thoughts. And anyways, you chew on that. Amen, because it's in my heart to share. Let's open to John 3:16. And for those visiting, we read this every service. Number one, because the Lord prompted us to. And it's changed our hearts. Is the reading of God's word and the meditating of it and the doing of it will transform your thinking and mind. So it's not just reading it every day and reading it at a service, but it's also doing it. And as we read it and do it, I believe the scripture says that you, as you walk in the light and do it, your love is perfected in you. Let's start together in John 3:16. You can read, I'm going to read from the King James. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, let's turn over to John 13 also. Let's read John 13, 34 and 35 together. This is our marching orders, if you would. This is the commandment that we've been given in the new covenant. This is Jesus speaking. He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." And verse 35 in the New Living Translation says, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Hallelujah. It'll prove it to the world. Now, the thoughts that I have today, or the thoughts that the Lord has given me, I want you to turn over to John. We're going to use this particular scripture, and have been using this scripture, John 1:1, and using this particular scripture as a foundation scripture. John 1:1. And I'm going to read the first four verses. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him," we're talking about in him, "was life," and this word life in the Greek is zoe. There's really two words that are referenced in the Bible. One, I believe, is pronounced suke, and one is zoe. One is just natural life. It's just the life that makes us and gives us life. Or you might say life could be the plant life, the animal life, you know, just those things. That's suke. But then there's the God kind of life, which is zoe, and that's his nature. That's his actual nature. And this says here, "In him," in Christ, "was life," or zoe, "and the life," and that word is zoe also, "was the light of men." And I've shared, I'm just going to go back and just share this again, that the life in him was life, and that life was the light of men. And that light, you could also say, is the development of men. It's the light in the spirit of man that influences man's thinking, his soulish realm. It impacts or influences the creativity and the inventions and the things that are created in a country. And you can see that, and if you go back, you can just look at history, that countries that had no Christian influence at all, they were considered dark countries. In other words, they were behind. They were, in the world's term, they call them third world countries, countries that were backwards. Those countries, you can go back and you can look at it and trace it, that when missionaries began to be sent into those countries, they influenced, people began to be saved, life and light began to influence those countries, and they came out of the dark. And so you can see even this country, the country which sends out the gospel, look at how far advanced it is. But you can also, when you say, well, there's other countries that are advanced, that is true. But go and look at books on revival. I have. Not deeply and extensively, but I've gone through books on revivals. And you can look, North Korea in Pyongyang had one of the largest revivals. China, large revivals that came and were spawned out of Azusa. And they came and just left. Some didn't even hit Azusa. They heard of and said, I'm going. And they began to leave and go into these countries, and there were great revivals. Ireland, Scotland. You look at all of those countries, major revivals. And those revivals did what? Impacted those countries. And light and life began to impact those countries. So life impacts, it changes someone. What changes them? That eternal life, that God nature in us. We're new creatures where? In Christ. And so I have living in me God. Why? Because of His what? Eternal life. So I have His nature in me. God is love. So I have God's love, His nature, His love in me. And God is what? Light. And that means that because, and the scripture says what? In Colossians, we've been translated, or we've been delivered from what? Darkness and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. So we're translated into light. That means that we don't have to bump around in life. And it also says, if you walk in the light, you won't walk in darkness. There's no darkness in a person. So as we stay focused and we meditate in the Word of God, then we won't bump around in life. We won't bump around in life. John 6:63, it says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That is the God kind of life, the Zoe life. John 10:10, the thief cometh not for but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, Zoe, and that they might have it more abundantly. And, you know, of course, some of the other translations say that I'll have life and have it to the full. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. This is the new living, and others. So he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, see, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Hallelujah. Now, here's the thoughts. Let's go over to James. I want to come over and just spend a few minutes because I was there on Wednesday, but I just have this impression to stay there today a little bit. James chapter 1. And let's look at verse 22. James 1:22, and I want to look at those few verses of Scripture there. It says, but be ye doers of the word. Doers of what? Doers of the light. See? And the Scripture, well, I'll hold on that thought. It says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, let me ask a question. When a person is deceived, what does that really mean? To me, a person who was deceived thinks they're right, but they're not right. But they really think they're absolutely convinced they're right. I'm right, but they're not right. They're deceived. And you can look that up. You know, it means somebody who's hoodwinked, bamboozled. You know, there's all kinds of terms that are used. But a person who's deceived absolutely thinks they're correct. Now, how could a person who... Let's think about this. A person who's a doer of the word, it says here, but be a doer of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Now, that could mean a couple of things. It could mean a person who's heard the word of God so much that they think they're doing it because they're hearing it. You know, I hear, you know, that's our foundation. We were raised on that in the church. Yeah. Right? We all were. But are you doing it? See, that's the key. Because sometimes people can hear it so much, it's almost like, I'll give you an example. You could go to a person who's in a hospital bed, who's in pain and suffering, and they can quote the scripture to you. They'll quote all the scriptures to you. Okay, great. But is it impacting you? See, and I'm not here to say in any, please don't read into what I'm saying. I am not saying a person who's walking through a challenge and quotes the scripture is not doing the word. I am not saying that at all. But what I am saying is the word brings light. And the word of God and the light, which is wisdom, will tell you what to do. Because a lot of times people are going, I think we should go to the doctor. Or I think we should sell our house and move. Well, you should know whether you should do that or not. You shouldn't think you should. You should know if I'm to have an operation or I'm to have take medicine or I'm to have a procedure, you should know. There's no doubt in your mind. And when there's no doubt, there's no fear. There is no fear. Why? Because you know. You know God has directed your steps. You see. And so when there's light, you know. And God holds us accountable for what we know. And I'll tell you, you just hold your finger. I'll read it to you. You know how one way we know that? Because right here, I'll give you one, there's a few scripture verses, but in 1 John 1, you keep your finger, you can, if you want to turn there, that's fine. But in 1 John, it says, this then is the message that we've heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. See, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. What does it say? Number 7, verse 7, what does that say? if we walk in the what? Oh. If we walk in the light. What does that mean? That means you walk in what you know. Do you have light in everything? No. No, you don't. It says, if we walk in the light, that means you walk in what you know. You have fellowship with God. And the blood of Jesus, isn't that a wonderful thing? The blood of Jesus cleanses us for things that we don't know. You're talking about something. The love of God. He's cleansing us of sin, of things that we don't know. But when you walk in the light and you know, see, then we're accountable. So if God says to go do something or stop doing something and you don't do it, you knew. You knew. See, that goes for me. See, I'll say it this way. Somebody who stands in an office and is prompted or given an anointing to teach something, they may be anointed to teach it, but we ain't anointed to live it. We're going to have to live it just like you. Is that not true? Because when this anointing lifts to teach it, I got to live it. I can't say, man, I taught it and bah da ba da ba. And he say, yeah. And did you do it? And I can't snibble and do whatever you do. I can't do that. I have to say, no, sir, I did not. Or yes, sir, I did. See, just because you're anointed to teach something, you're not anointed to live it. You have to do it. So, let's go back to James. We're back in James. It says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man. I want you to pay close attention to this today. For he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Okay? And it says here in verse 24, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now, I want you to just hold steady for a second, because I was prompted to look up the word beholdeth, because what made me think, look here, is it said, he beholdeth himself and goeth his way. He beholdeth himself and goeth his way. Beholdeth means to observe, to understand, to consider attentively, to fix one's eyes or minds upon. So when you behold something, you know. You know. See, you look in the mirror and you can see the context of how the scripture is written, can't you? Because it says, it's talking about someone who beholdeth. They come into the mirror, they see, yeah, I see who I am in Christ. I know who I am in Christ, and I do what? I goeth my way, and I do what? I forget. But now look at the context. It says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Now we're talking about the Word of God. But it's the same example. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and does what? Continueth. They're a doer. They continueth therein. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So this is a person who looks into the mirror, and we could say there's a revealing to your spirit that you know who you are in Christ. You know you're a new creature in Christ. You know you've been saved. You know there's things in your life that God has given you an understanding and a revelation, a knowing of who you are. And it says, and then you depart and go his way. And I'd like to say it, you go your way, and in the next verse, you're going God's way. Is that not true? Because when you go your way and you don't follow, or you don't hook up, or you don't, as it says, behold, you don't observe who you are in Christ and continue, you're what? A forgetful hearer. And that's how one can be deceived. You think, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. But your mind's not renewed. And some things dog Christians their whole life. They never get out of, they're stuck in a spot. And in some ways, it's like this. They behold themselves, and they don't get their minds changed. See, and that life is in us. And God is saying, He's wanting us to take, as we've been hearing things, take the limits off with God. You see, when this says here, you go your way, to me, a lot of times it can be this. When God says, all things are possible to them who believe. All my needs are met in Christ. But then I let life begin to dictate my choices. I let life circumstances begin to mold my thinking and make me make choices, or I yield and start making choices instead of looking into the perfect law of liberty and continuing therein. See? And that's the same for me. We all make choices every day, and sometimes those choices don't measure up, or it's as if we don't continue and we're forgetful here. We get excited. See, we can come to a church service 7 days a week. We can get every CD. We can download everything from everybody's ministry. And we can be excited. I'm not saying that we're not excited. But when we see it, what's the response? Every time there's revelation, God doesn't reveal Scripture to us to get excited. He doesn't reveal Scripture or cause revelation to come through any, if it's to you personally by the Spirit of God, or if it's through an office or a ministry gift, whoever that is, and you see something, what is the response? The response should be, I'm doing that. Because God doesn't just reveal just for the sake of revealing. It's revealing for you to grow and to be more productive, Because I believe, doesn't it say in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches, and that life is to do what? The life that's in the vine is in the branches to do what? Produce fruit. So light, the light and the life that's in the vine flows out. That's the revelation of God's word, flows out to the branches. That life is to produce fruit. And so for all of us, and that's really where we are, the seasons that we're in right now, God is saying, okay, folks. And God's saying it a whole lot of different ways that he can get our attention. Recently, I heard that in my spirit, let's report to duty. That was Sunday night. I heard it when Pastor Judy was here. I heard, we need to report for duty. It's saying it the same thing, just a different way the Holy Ghost is prompting us, nudging us to let go of and not be so absorbed and ingrained with life that I can't let go. Life and the things that we do, he's our source. He's our master, but He'll have us do things in life, but we should be impacting, we should be having an impact in life. Impact on life. Now, let me continue. Verse 25, we read. Verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, see, this man's religion is in vain. Now, I had this scripture. I want to just go back over it again. Let's go over to Luke for a few moments. Luke chapter, let me go to 6 first. Go to Luke 6. Familiar scripture? Yeah, let's look at this. This is a good scripture to look at. It's in the last few minutes here. And we always read this sometimes, well, not always, but we read this sometimes at Ministry of Giving, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom, with the same measure that you meet with all shall be measured to you again. We shout and go hallelujah. But let's back up a little bit, and let's look at the context of what this is really saying. And you can see here, it talks about loving, verse 27, but I say unto you, which do what? Which hear? Love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you, and so forth. Verse 30, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And then it begins to, down in verse 35, love your enemies and do good, lending and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be called the children of the highest. Now, verse 37. See, we read 38, but we really need to back up to 37. Says what? Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Colon. That means something's following this thought. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Not judge. Give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and so forth. But now, let's continue what Jesus is saying here, because he's talking about doing something, isn't he? He's talking about giving, loving, judging not, and he's talking about doing it. Because I'm talking about this all in the same context of what we're talking about, looking into the perfect law of liberty and continuing therein. And when you look at verse 39, and he spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? And the disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. Now look at verse 41. It's a very interesting thing here. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine own eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Let me ask a question. Here's a person who's deceived, because they didn't continue in the perfect law of liberty. They deceived themselves. Now, here's a person that's got a beam out their eye, and they can't see that, but they think they're right. Isn't that true? They absolutely believe they're right. The reason they believe they're right, because they're judging and picking at somebody else. But they can't see that they're wrong. They're deceived. Is that not true? I mean, here's another example right here. Person who doesn't do the word is deceived, and you have an example where they've got something obvious in their own. You know, figure a person look in the mirror and say, wow, I got this beam hanging out my eye. That's a graphic picture of something, but you understand the point. They can't see that, but they can judge someone else. So they're deceived, and they think they're right. So the point is that when we're given instructions by God and instructions in the Word of God, that what God is really prompting us is that we need to make sure that we're obeying the Word of God. And He wants us to let go of those things that we've held on to. You know, or there may be a reason why I can't do that. And those reasons could be a number of. Now, I reference this. Here's another scripture here. Go over to Luke 19. And I'll tell you, the presence of the Lord is here. May not feel comfortable, but the presence of the Lord is so strong in my spirit right now to share this, and I know that it'll do us all some good. Luke 19, chapter 19. This is the story of the nobleman and giving out the talents to his 10 servants and so forth. But when you get down towards the end, well, it's verse 18, he said, the second came and said, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. So he began to commend and reward them for their ability to do something with what he gave them. And he said likewise to him, be thou over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, that be the nobleman, said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. What is the next two words? Thou knewest. He knew. He knew. He says, thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid down, not down, and reaping that I did not sow. So God holds us accountable for what we know, not what we don't know. Thank God. I thank God. But I can tell you one thing. I know I've heard Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton say it for year after year. If you spent any time in this ministry, you ain't in the dark. You know some things. And some of the children know a whole lot more than some ministers do. And we know. And so God is prompting us because of the season that we're in. We're the church, and the church should become a standard bearer, not someone who's, you know, impacted or affected. In other words, we know this. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light set upon a hill. Now, just looking at my notes here, just go back to James for a second. James chapter 1. Yeah, because I went and looked this up. James chapter 1. And go back to verse 24. James chapter 1 and verse 24. It says in verse 24, for he beholdeth himself. Now, I had read you the definition. I'll read it again. It says to perceive, to remark, observe, understand, to consider attentively. Now, go over to Hebrews for a second. Hebrews chapter 3. And look at verse 1. What does it say? It says, I'll read it. Wherefore, I'm going to read from the King James, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. That word consider is the same exact Greek word for beholdeth. Same one. And it's used in a few other places. So that means that this person in James that it's using this metaphor, I guess you could call it, says this person beholdeth himself and he considered, he attentively gazed. And of course, it uses that in that reference, but this is saying here, consider. Give attention to, attentively gaze at the apostle and high priest of our profession. And go over to Romans chapter 4. There's another scripture, Romans chapter 4, and look at verse 19. Similar, same word. The word considered is the same word for beholdeth in the Greek. Same word. That's why sometimes the translators used different words, so sometimes you have to look at a concordance to see how those words are similar. But this is talking about Abraham, and it said, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. he considered not. So he looked into, or in this case, they looked into the perfect law of liberty and considered that and didn't consider something else. You see the point? And so God is nudging me to share. Let's look at our lives, and if there's things that we're considering that are contrary to the Word of God, or there's things that we think, you know, hey, yeah, I'm doing the Word. Are you doing it? See? You may not be. I'm not saying you are or you aren't, but examine. And God is, the Holy Ghost is arresting me to share it. Because we're in a season where God is wanting us to unhook from anything that binds, anything that hinders our lives. He doesn't want us to be hindered in any way. Let me just read these two or three scriptures here. They're familiar. It's in Colossians 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life, the Zoe, is hid with Christ in God. And of course, the other translations say pretty much the same thing. It just says your old sinful self has died, and your new life is kept with Christ in God. Go to 2 Corinthians. We'll close with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's look at verse 4. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 4. You know, I was sharing this on Wednesday. I said, you know, anybody who's been a parent, you know, you give some instructions at home and you tell Johnny or Susie, clean up your room, do the dishes, take out the garbage, and they don't do it. But whatever that chore is, and they want to whine and go, and give you a whole lot of dribble, the parent will say, I said, go clean up the room. Take out the garbage. Because I know, we've all been there. Let's play on that tune for a little bit, see if somebody budges. Let's play that tune. I did it as a child. You know, we all did something to kind of work something, to get out of doing something, an instruction. But let me ask a question. Did your little dribble change it? No. No. It didn't change it. Do it. And then you get the reward. It's no different with God. We can go and snibble and complain and whine and all. But if he said, do it, then that's what he meant. Do it. Now, God is a good God. Because, you know, I'll say it this way. God knows you. And he knows me. So he knows what you know. So you can't come in and pull something on him and say, you know, God, you know. And he'll say, yeah, but did you do pop, 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 pop? And you go, no. See, so he already knows what you know. So if you come with sincerity and you really, for whatever reason, and God weighs and said, yeah, okay, they didn't really know, okay, here's what you need to do. But once you get that, you need to do. See, so we can't play a game with God. 2 Corinthians 5:4. It says, let me back up to verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, We have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, it is talking in context, if you read the scriptures here, it is talking about, because if you continue, let's continue, it says in verse 5, for he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, colon. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So when you're here in this earth and you're absent from the Lord and you're in this body, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. That means walking by faith means doing something. Because we can look at James and it says, faith without works is dead. So we need to do something when we see something. But for me, this particular scripture, swallowed up of life, I like that this is the 20th century New Testament. It says, for we who are in this tent sigh under the burden, or under our burden, unwilling to take it off, yet wishing to put our heavenly body over it, so that all that is mortal may be absorbed in life, in Zoe. So one of the things, the thought that came to me with this is that we don't want to be swallowed up of life in the life in our daily things that we do. Don't be swallowed up of that life. Get swallowed up of his life. Let his life rule you and reign in your life. And that takes some effort. I know it does for all of us. But we're in a place where it's a time where things are accelerating. And I've shared this before. If you think the devil is just sitting back, you're mistaken. And you need to know who you are in Christ. Because I can tell you, I've had a few experiences in life, just a few. And when it comes to the devil, he will bow at the name of Jesus. And I've had some instances where demonic possession and oppression that I've dealt personally one-on-one on, and when unctioned by the Holy Ghost and I used the name of Jesus, it bowed. And so it's knowing who we are, and when we're in this life that we're in right now, darkness is increasing. And this earth is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. And it's no longer about just hearing about faith, but it's walking in the power of God, walking in the demonstrations. Because when you think about this, the world has heard the gospel for centuries. But what are they not seeing? Demonstrations. of the power of God. And that is, I believe, all of our heart's desire, is to operate in that, and we can. But we can't shy away from walking in the light and walking in the life of God. It means being swallowed up of life, being consumed with His presence. Your waking moments. Yes, we're all busy with life to the max. But during the day, we need to take time out. If you have job, pray in the Holy Ghost under your breath. Pray in the Holy Ghost quietly. Don't go all day without not praying in the Spirit. I don't care what job. I would take public transportation. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about praying at the top of your... I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about praying in the Holy Ghost under your breath. Amen. You're building up your most holy faith in God. Be swallowed up with that. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank You for this word. Thank You for reminding us of who we are in Christ, what our responsibilities are, what our obligations are, not just to You, but our obligations to this earth. We are Christ here in the earth, and our obligation is to this lost and dying world, to bring the good news of the gospel. So, Father, we're here and ready at Your disposal, at Your leading. And Father, we repent for those things that we haven't obeyed, because Your word says that if we confess our sins, then you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So, Father, we repent now for the things that we've not done, that You've revealed and showed us, and we ask for forgiveness. And Father, we don't dwell on it, but now we move forward, and we listen for Your instructions in the name of Jesus. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.